A new book explores how redlining and other racist policies shaped urban landscapes. Dr. Christine Carmichael, founder of Fair Forest Consulting, is at the forefront of environmental justice in urban forestry. She's the author of Racist Roots. WDET's Natalie Albright spoke with Carmichael about advocating for historically marginalized communities to have a healthy tree canopy.
Essentially, what we mean by environmental justice neighborhoods are these areas or neighborhoods that have been subjected to environmental injustices. A lot of times it has this connection to government policies that treat people differently based on race, not enough attention to fixing those issues over decades, and not enough care and attention to the trees and the people living in those communities, leading to this issue of having fewer trees and generally less healthy trees in these neighborhoods. And then that leads to all kinds of consequences. So people experiencing higher heat-related issues, more air quality issues, mental health, cardiac. I mean, there's all kinds of different science that's shown when you don't have as many trees and they're not well cared for, you don't have these other benefits, and you can in fact experience a lot of negative consequences.
Is there something that makes Detroit different when looking at environmental injustice?
In Detroit specifically, because Detroit was the epicenter for Dutch elm disease, that makes it unique because in the 1950s, for example, when Detroit was still majority white and was still going through growth in population, it peaked in the 1950s, I believe, around 1.85 million people, and then declined quite a bit over the decades after that, a lot due to white flight. And so then, you know, going down to a population of 600 something thousand, at that time, it was known as City of Trees because it had more trees per capita than any other industrialized city in the world. And so Detroit was known for this. At that time, there was a monoculture practically of elm trees. And so Dutch elm disease came through and it actually intersected with the time around the race rebellion in Detroit in 1967. Then what I heard in Detroit that was a unique narrative from some residents, most of whom had lived during the 67 rebellion, had this feeling that the trees were removed because the government wanted to surveil neighborhoods from overhead in helicopters, not because the trees were diseased. That is one of the narratives of racism linked to urban trees and urban forestry and how trees are managed. And it has impacts and consequences later. So for example, someone said to me, like, they came in and cut down all our trees and now they want to come in and cut and plant all our trees. And in both cases, the resident was excluded from any of the decision-making processes. And then of course, Emerald Ash Borer, Detroit again in the 1990s was the epicenter. And it expanded from there. So Detroit is sort of unique in that it's one of these cities that is unfortunately at the forefront of these injustices. You know, it's really sad sometimes to think about how it could have been an opportunity to be an example to other cities of how to treat people well and manage these issues, get ahead of them, take early action to help people manage things like ash trees being killed or elm trees being taken down. And instead, those issues just made injustices worse. Other cities kind of followed suit, but Detroit was sort of at the beginning.
What do you think was missing from this opportunity to kind of fight these diseases and the opportunity to create a sense of environmental justice? What do you think was lost or ignored in that effort?
Sharing information democratically or transparently with people. There was not really a concerted effort to talk to people, share the information about Dutch elm disease or Emerald Ash Borer. It was more like a reactionary, oh, these trees are dying, we'll just take them down, or that type of thing. There were limits to urban foresters' understanding of how to manage those things. They were new threats. But I think there could have been a lot more proactive effort to organize with the community